Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, Nick Caserio joining us at 7:15 on the show. Let's quick get to D'Amico Ryans. The Joe Mixon injury is probably the biggest national news coming out of Texans training camp. Ian Rapoport actually had a report on it over the weekend that indicated that it's going to be maybe all of training camp, that Joe Mixon will be reassessed before week one. I don't know that Rapoport's report was drastically different than what the initial expectations were for Mixon's injury, and I think this may be where some of the glitch is with D'Amico Ryans. And yet there's part of me that's like, okay, well, I don't mind Rapoport's report. Anyways, here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday on the Joe Mixon injury reports from national media.
Yeah, nothing's changed with Joe. Joe is still working, you know, in the background. I know we get reports about Joe. Nothing's changed. He's still working. Whenever it's time for Joe to be back, he'll be back. Right? I know a lot of people want to report a lot of things about guys with injuries. My thing is this is, are you really concerned about our guys? Or are you really just trying to get something out there? Right? And for me, I always put my players' health and safety first and foremost. So I care about the guys. So you guys don't hear me talking a lot about injuries because that's their personal information. Guys are working through that. And there's nothing to report or get in an uproar about. Like, our guys are working, and it's always sensitive to me because I've been there. I've went through that. So it's not just to report something. Like, I want people here who truly care about our guys. I care about our guys and what they're doing throughout their process, and it'll continue to be that way.
This is, to me, Seth, this is a case of two things can be true. D'Amico can care about his players. D'Amico cannot want injury information out there. And yet it is the job of reporters to report things that they hear about injury, especially in the National Football League, with the one league that has to put out an injury report every week.
Yeah, that was the part that I was because I did in Rapoport's report and kind of wonder, all right, is this something he's just putting out there when things are a little bit slow or whatever, because it doesn't seem like it was groundbreaking or earth-shattering. Yeah, he's in a walking boot, and that Joe Mixon hasn't taken snaps in a preseason game in a long time anyway. So yeah. There's a little bit of a newsy element to that. But at the same time, I mean, it's not the reporter's jobs to care about the player or to be – it's to report on things. And fans do, by and large, want to know this stuff, especially if you're an Astros fan, because you've seen how much injuries have affected the Astros right now. And a lot of Texans fans are Astros fans. The one thing that I might disagree with D'Amico on, that at least partly – is that from a player's perspective, there are times where it's frustrating that the team isn't filling people in on your injury, because people have a tendency to start questioning your toughness, or they make up stories in their own minds or on the message boards or what have you about what's going on. And that can be frustrating. When you've had setbacks, a lot of people in the fan base start speculating, like, well, what's going on with this guy anyway? I don't know if he wants it enough. And depending on how sensitive the player is, that can actually be just as or more stressful than when the team is divulging information.
Yeah, I think we've seen that with the Astros. You know, the Astros are the teams here in town. They're the ones that seem to be the glitchiest when it comes to reporting injuries, accurately forecasting injuries, at least publicly, to the, you know, to the fans and to the media, forecasting when guys are going to come back. And you're right. Eventually, the lightning rod in the whole thing winds up being the player, and the longer they're out, the bigger the lightning rod they become in that situation.
Yeah. That's so, where I always, like, and I used to say, like, I played before fantasy became as big as it did, but there was still, it was starting to be, you know, guys would make those statements about, like, oh, people, they only care about fantasy, but not about my actual injury. And when I was a player, I'd be like, yeah. Like, what's so hard to figure out about that? What? How disillusioned? Like, what were your illusions beforehand about the deep and genuine caring that you got from people in the sporting, or especially the betting public? Like,
well, the betting public,
that's the job, man.
And even the viewing public is, I think there's an element where players are just characters on a television show. You know, that's, you know, there's not an interpersonal element. Maybe there's a little more of a personal element now through social media. You see guys in their regular lives more and whatnot, but characters on a TV show is how I was looked at.
Yeah, there is. I mean, we've talked about this before. Like, so much of becoming a true veteran is understanding the difference between the movie version of the NFL or pro sports and the actual version. And you got to get a lot of that crap out of your head, you know? Like just stop worrying about all this other stuff. It doesn't matter to your specific goals and objectives.
I just shifting gears real quick. Nick Caserio is going to join us out here in a few minutes. We're going to talk to him at 7:15. Okay, tell me if you think this feels like easy money to you. They put out, Jimmy Shapiro sent out an email, I think from Bet Online, one of the betting outlets, has a page where you can bet on divisional wins for each team. Obviously, each team has an opportunity to win six divisional games. The Texans' win total in division is 3.5. Can you, if they go, what type of scenario, barring injury, you know, like obviously if something happens to C.J. Stroud, 3-3 in the division is then very much in play. But assuming C.J. Stroud is healthy, what set of circumstances would the Texans have to endure to be a 500 team in the division, go 3-3 in the division?
It's not all that bizarre or anything. I mean,
Cam Ward is really good, I guess.
When you talk about divisional games, that's three road games that you're playing.
Yeah.
And that just losing the turnover battle in a couple of games alone is going to could throw you that way. Were there, like, what was the highest division win total?
I think the highest one I saw was the Bills were 4.5, something like that. Yeah. So, you know, so it's not a drastically. Nobody had 5 because then you got to go undefeated in the division to get the over.
I'm not insulted by the number because it's such a small sample size and a weird bet. But I think the biggest thing is that people looking at it objectively look at the Texans' offense, and the offense wasn't good last year.
Yeah.
And then they got rid of Laremy Tunsil. So from the outside looking in without knowing all the dynamics, you're taking a bad offense. You've got a couple of rookie wide receivers that you feel good about that you added to him. So, like, we feel good about that here in Houston. But you really can't rely on rookie wide receivers until you see them. And the offensive line is, they made, from the outside looking in, they didn't really make any improvements to the offensive line on paper. So I get it. I get that part of it.
I'm going to bet it. Now, I'll remind you, they haven't lost a division road game since the Culley season. You know, they've been, we're coming up on 4 seasons. They haven't lost a road game in the division. That's with some bad Texan teams. It was just, 3.5 was jarring because I'm like, man, to lose this bet, they got to go 3-3 against the Colts, the Titans, and the Jags, who in every power ranking are all three in the bottom quarter of the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans squeaked, like, the first game of the year, they squeaked one out versus the Colts. And they easily could have lost that.
They could have lost both Colts games.
And they got destroyed by they got physically destroyed by the Titans at home. So it's just, it's not a freak set of circumstances to go even in the division.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Nick Caserio is going to join us live out here at Texans training camp. After this break, we'll talk for about 40 minutes or so with the Texans GM, commercial-free. We'll have a nice long conversation with him where we'll ask him about everything going on out here at training camp, how he feels the team is sitting in year 3 of the D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud era. We'll do all that coming up next.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, there it is. You know when that music plays, what's about to happen. We are live at Texans training camp, day 6. We had padded practice yesterday.
We're
getting a padded practice today.
We
well?
Are. Yes,
oh,
we are.
Yeah.
Yes,
we there are. We go. That voice. You know that voice. Joining us here on Payne and Pendergast, Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager Nick Caserio joining us out here live right next to the practice field. Nick, it's great to see you.
Good morning. Great to see you. It's good to be here.
Good to be here. I'm going to ask this early. We're going to be going to West Virginia next week, getting in on Sunday. Will there be a SummerSlam watch party at the Greenbrier?
It's funny. I actually watched the tail end of Raw last night to see the card. So whether or not we make it to SummerSlam or watch SummerSlam, we'll see.
Okay.
But looks like it should be pretty exciting.
It'll be good.
Hopefully the weather holds off and not out there in a tornado or a rainstorm or anything else.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Hey, so we just played in a segment or two ago. We played Sheldon Rankins yesterday, did media, and he was talking about, he was asked about comparing the team he was here with in 2023 to this team. And I loved his answer because he said, you know, the culture here now is set. DeMeco doesn't have to instruct us on every little thing. How are you feeling right now? Like year three of you and DeMeco together and CJ here, obviously. Is that an accurate assessment of where you guys are now culture-wise and everything compared to where it was 2 years ago?
Yeah, we're 3 years into the program now. And I think anytime you start something new or start something kind of the infantile stages, like that was D'Amico's first season. So really what he's trying to do is implement the foundation, the principles. Here's what it takes. Here's what we're looking for. Here's what we want. Make sure we get that message to the players. And ultimately it's about the players to implement that on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
And so now we have 2 years under our belt going into year three. We have a number of players that have been here in the system now for multiple years. Rank's a good example of a player who was here, left, now he came back. So I think the players have an understanding of what the expectation is on a day-to-day basis. And the best teams are usually the player-driven teams. Because
yeah.
In the end, you're relying on one another on a day-to-day basis and ultimately on Sundays for execution. So, you know, we feel like the program's in a pretty good spot. But what we try to do is each year we're starting over and we kind of have to reestablish our level of performance on a lot of levels, top to bottom, which is what training camp is for.
You know, Daniel Jeremiah once, I remember hearing him talk about how amongst scouts, you can kind of start to get a feel for some of the teams and what types of players they look for, to where you know, guys will look at a prospect and say, oh, yeah, that's a Ravens guy or that's a Steelers guy. Do you feel like you're starting to get a Texans type of guy?
Well, I think what you're noticing around sports is teams are prioritizing certain criteria. So whether it's in basketball, whether it's in baseball, and what you're trying to do is say, obviously the physical attributes, and they have to be able to go out there and perform their job, but there's also some intangible elements from a work ethic, from a mindset, from a competitive, from a toughness, what's required, what works in our building. We have to prioritize that because we feel that that gives us the best opportunity to put ourselves in the position to win. So I think what you're actually finding is more and more teams are looking for the same types of people with the same types of mindset. The systems are the systems. Certain players may fit a little bit better relative to what you're going to ask them to do. But from a consistency, from a dependability, from a reliability standpoint, those are the things that are going to win. So talent is important in this league. We've talked about this. I've mentioned on the show, talent is one component, but there's so many other factors that go into being a good football player, which I would say a good example when you look at somebody like Dare. So Dare is going into year 9 in his league. Is Dare the most talented player? Probably not. But is he consistent? Is he dependable? Does he execute his job, perform his job when he's asked? And I think he's shown the ability to do that for as long as he's been in the league. So he showed that in Tampa Bay. And then he's been here really since we first started the program in 2021. So what we tried to do, even on the front end before D'Amico was here, was prioritize those types of players. And our feeling was if we continue to fill the building with those players top to bottom, we're going to at least put ourselves in a better position to hopefully have sustainable success.
So the, when you talk about how a lot of teams are starting to look at the same types of things, I get the feeling that what you're saying is that there's less tolerance for bums than there used to be. or potential bums.
Well, it's not so much that. It's just when a player walks in a building, and you've been in plenty of locker rooms, so players are very smart, they're very perceptive. So if you're saying as a team, this is what's important to us, and a player is the antithesis of that because he maybe has some ability, then as a player, you're going to really question, are we staying consistent with really truly what we believe in, or are we taking a flyer because this guy has enough talent that, you know, we think is going to translate to winning? So, again, your tolerance is based on what you are willing to accept on a day-to-day basis in your program. It doesn't mean that you're not going to take a risk. You might maybe want to take a calculated risk on your terms, but hopefully the infrastructure that you have put in place can absorb that. And if it's not working out, our responsibility is to make a decision and to move on because we know ultimately where it's going to end up.
Yeah. One more on that, and then we'll get to training camp specific stuff. But I know you talk a lot after the draft about programs that players came from. The two Iowa State kids, you gushed about Matt Campbell. There's other coaches I'm sure you feel the same way. How critical is that when you're assessing players and bringing them in? How much does that factor in that it's a head coach and a program that you feel prepares them more for this type of environment?
You certainly put stock in that. When you look across the country, there's certain programs and coaches. When you look at what Coach Ferentz has done at Iowa, I mean, look what Matt's done at Iowa State. I would say what Coach Lanning is doing at the University of Oregon right now. You have Kirby, Coach Saban. So when you have an understanding, Coach Fickell in Wisconsin, when you have an understanding of what they ask of the players on a day-to-day basis, then they're prepared to a certain level. Now, they still have to be able to replicate that at our level in our locker room and our team, and there's going to be an adjustment period because they have less distractions or their focus is more on football and I have to worry about going to class. But we're evaluating programs as much as we are evaluating the players.
Yeah.
And we're of the belief that programs win. So whether it's in college or whether it's the NFL level, I mean, there's a reason that the same, I could say, handful of teams are in a position on a year-to-year basis because they have well-established programs. Doesn't mean there's not going to be some turnover.
Sure.
But programs matter, and then the people that are within those programs are ultimately going to define what that program looks like.
So is a big part of this process for you this year with Nick Haley, you know him from before, obviously, but not in this role necessarily and not on this team and everything else that's different. Are you still kind of getting to know this version of Nick Haley this year?
Yeah, there's always an adjustment period, and I think as you go through your career as a coach, you go from an assistant coach to a coordinator or a head coordinator to a head coach. So, and we've talked about this, where you've been is potentially has some impact of the imprint that you put on the program, but ultimately what you're trying to do is put together, in our case, the 2025 Houston Texans offense. So what does that look like? It goes back to who are the players? What can they do? Can they actually perform the job and the tasks that are asked of them? Maybe there's some things that this player does a little better than others, then you use a little bit more of that. If a player is not as equipped to handle it, then you're maybe not going to put himself in that position. But I think all of us are going back to what I said a little bit earlier, trying to reestablish our level of performance. And in Nick's case, he's working through some things from a coordinator perspective. But ultimately, this is what training camp is about. It's about learning. It's about repetition. It's about making some mistakes. It's going back inside, maybe correcting, making some adjustments. So Nick's worked really hard. I think he's trying to put his stamp on the offense. And it's a collective effort from his position to the coordinators. The players all have input as well. So in the end, we're all going to rely on each other. And it's going to come down to how well we can execute in critical situations on Sundays.
We're joined by Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager Nick Caserio, live day six of Texans training camp. For us on the outside, Nick, one of the biggest storylines with this offense is C.J. Stroud, and how this year he's got more of a level of control, we would call it, line of scrimmage, whatever that may be. How is he doing with that so far, and what are your thoughts on that? You know, how big a difference is that for him this year?
Yeah, ultimately, the quarterback has his hand on the ball 99% of the time, yeah, as you're getting Wildcat or something like that. So you want to have a certain level of autonomy, and ultimately you want to feel comfortable with what's going on, yeah, on your side of the ball, and then have an understanding of what's going on the other side of the ball. So let's say this particular system, it's kind of a quarterback-driven system, and it's really just about the communication. It's getting the information out to the people so that everybody's seeing the picture through the same lens. So the quarterback, when he has that, I would say, responsibility, he feels a little bit more, I would say, in control, and then he can make the decision and understand where the problems are. So it takes work. It's going to change kind of on a week-to-week basis. What are the issues? What do we have to deal with? But he's worked really hard. I think he's enjoyed that aspect of it, and it's only going to continue to grow and evolve as we work through camp and get into the regular season.
You know, Nick, one of the most surprising things I said to Sean, I don't think we even said it on air, but I was reading Bill Belichick's book, The Art of Winning, and I came in on a Monday, and before the show I said, man, D'Amico and Belichick are so similar. And he looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about?
You're not wrong.
No, they have. I mean, obviously they have much different personalities. But at the end of the day, I think that the one thing that really shone through as I was reading Belichick's book, and it's something that I already knew about D'Amico, is that I think they both either naturally or work really hard at just getting rid of the BS or the stuff that really doesn't matter and just zeroing in on the stuff that genuinely does have an impact on your team.
No, that's accurate. And you guys have had a perspective, D'Amico as a player, now as a coach. He's a no-nonsense, no BS guy. He's old school. Like that's what he believes in. That's how he was trained. He's the greatest person like in the history of the world. I mean, I've been on this show, talked about how much I love him, how great of a person that he is. His priorities are right, how important faith and family is. But when it comes to football, like, he has that trigger, he has that switch, and he doesn't really have a lot of time. But the reality is none of us have time for a bunch of things that aren't really impacting winning. So the quicker we can arrive at that point, the quicker everybody has an understanding of that. Winning is hard in this league, so what you're trying to do is minimize the things that aren't going to help you win and focus on the things that are that actually matter, which is work, which is intent, which is showing up on a day-to-day basis, which is being consistent, and just keeping your mouth shut and working. And that's how D'Amico was as a player. And he's not really operating that differently as a head coach than he did as a player. So he has that trigger. He has that switch. He's very invested in the process. And I think the players understand that. And, you know, it's exciting to be a part of that.
Different personality types, but you agree with Seth's assessment that the two are similar.
Yeah, Seth's
in
right
ways
about a lot of stuff. So in this particular case, I would agree.
Yeah. That's right, Sean. Did you hear that? It's going to be on my profile. Seth's right about a lot of stuff. Nick Caserio.
I'm going back through some podcasts today now. Yeah, I got to go back.
Well, hey, you know, while we're on the topic of Belichick's book, this is one thing I love to do when I read biographies or autobiographies of very successful people, is I try to pick out the advice that nobody's going to follow. Because there's always something that people want to follow the advice that's most convenient to them. And one of my favorite parts of that book was where he said that the four most important words for a leader to get really comfortable with are, he said it more colorfully than I'll say it. He used a different word, but I screwed that up. And how important it is that he said, I screwed that up more than anybody else in the building, so guys can see that, yeah, take accountability for your mistakes. Doesn't mean that it's acceptable to make a mistake, but you got to take accountability for your mistakes, and I'm going to hold myself to the same standard as you.
No, I think that's the essence of leadership. All of us have to make a number of decisions on a day-to-day basis in our roles. Not every one of them is going to be right. And it's okay to admit, you know what, I was wrong about that, or you know what, I made a mistake, it's not good enough, and then just really work to get it fixed. So I think when you take accountability, individual accountability, hopefully people see that and respect that, and as long as it's done in a genuine fashion. Mm-hmm. So if you're wrong, don't be afraid to speak up and say, you know what, I'm wrong, I made a bad decision, or you know what, I don't know, let me go find out the information. There's a selfless nature to that, and it's okay to show, you know what, you're human, and we all make mistakes, and that's part of life, and that's part of growing up. So I think that's, you know, definitely a leadership trait or attribute that's important for people to possess. I mean, sometimes people act like they have all the answers, and they want you to know about that. I mean, you know, at some point, you're going to drown those people out and not want to listen to them. So, but it's interesting. It's an interesting observation. I'd say there's certainly a lot of validity to that, just, you know, from my perspective.
Nick Caserio joining us here.
Did he say it less frequently than maybe he presented it in the book? Yeah, did you not hear it from his mouth as often as maybe he claims?
No, he wasn't afraid to say, you know what, I screwed that up, and just work to get it fixed. And it just goes back to accountability. Yeah. So if you're holding yourself accountable, then it's a lot easier to hold the rest of your staff and the team accountable as well.
Nick Caserio joining us here live on Sports Radio 610. So as far as stuff out here at training camp, obviously a lot of eyes right now on Nick Chubb because Joe is out. DP is out as well, so Nick's getting a lot of run with the ones. I'm curious from, you know, he's coming off an injury a couple years ago, played some games last year, got injured at the end of last year. What type of data do you guys have when you're looking at him? I'm sure there's GPS trackers on everybody. Do you guys have sort of what the baseline was for him back when he was prior to the knee injury? And how are you able to kind of measure where he's at physically to help contribute to winning?
Yeah, that's interesting. You have a player's medical history of kind of what they have gone through, some of the different things that have happened. When they walk on campus, then we can kind of start our baseline understanding and do the testing. Where are they actually relative to their recovery? Is this an area that is too debilitating, it's going to affect their training? Do we have to modify their training? And then from a tracking standpoint with all players, we're just measuring their loads, their speeds, their physical imbalances, maybe one leg relative to the other, so it could impact their training. So we're looking at that across players. We're understanding some players may be a little bit more at risk than others, just given their history.
Yeah.
But what we're trying to do is just take the information we receive on a day-to-day basis here, and then over the course of camp, look, if there's a day where we feel a player and maybe needs a little bit less because he's reached a certain threshold on his loads, then that's where I would say you're seeing more trends in the league in that respect. So relative to Nick, Nick's come in, he's worked hard, he's done what we've asked him to do. He's really spent the off season on his own training. I mean, I know there's a bunch of videos of him squatting like 4,000 pounds,
yeah,
but like he's always been a strong player with a strong lower body. So once a player's here, we're actually able to measure that on a day-to-day basis and just try to figure out what's the best thing for the player. How do we keep them as healthy as possible? Understanding that, you know, we're not going to prevent everything, but there's a certain element of risk mitigation that's involved with every player, and we're certainly conscious of that.
Okay, real quick, Seth, to set the internet straight, just if Nick Chubb is squatting, I think it was 610 pounds.
Whatever it was.
Because it was a tribute to Sports Radio 610 is what I tweeted. He squatted six. So that's not necessarily – is that necessarily something that maps to what you guys are looking for in play? I mean, obviously it's impressive. I'm not trying
to actually
that.
Do a lot of single leg work.
Okay.
Yes.
I can speak from experience because I've been working with Mike Eubanks on Fridays and doing some single leg RDLs, and really what you're trying to do is create balance, you know, because you might find if you're doing double legs, Seth probably can speak to this, but if you're doing double leg, sometimes maybe one side or one area supersedes the other and you is doing more work.
Yeah.
When you do single leg and you isolate, you kind of have a better idea. So Nick's very strong in his lower body, so I would say whatever the measurements are,
it's going to be good.
He's strong. It's going to be pretty good.
It's going to be good.
No. As a guy that went through multiple knee surgeries and injuries, that was one thing our old strength coach Dan Riley was big on, was that sometimes the training staff, you know, back in those days, they'd clear a guy for practice, but Dan Riley he'd like to do single leg stuff with guys coming back from injuries, and the guy would be 20% weaker and the injured leg or the surgery leg, and it was frustrating for him. So he drilled that into my head over and over again. So I get excited when I hear people like you say that.
No, it's useful information. You can actually measure it. There's devices and technology that's available that can give you that information. And the good thing is you can show that to the player so they can see it. I think there was always when the whole data tracking technology came out, I think sometimes there was a negative viewpoint relative to players that were using it for, you know, non-competitive or non-positive reasons. But really what you're trying to do nowadays is show the player, look, here were your measurements, here's where your load, here's why we're training the way that we are. So they have an understanding of here's why we're doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So I think you've seen that kind of grow and evolve. And there's definitely more trust on both sides. And we're not using it for anything other than what's in the best interest of the players. That's how we view it.
Sure.
Darrell Taylor intrigues me because I think, you know, you remember Jason Babin. Jason Babin was drafted by the Texans. And it was a little bit of, I don't know if we were in the right scheme for him. And when he went off to Seattle and was able to put his hand in the dirt and be a 4-3 defensive end instead of a 3-4 outside linebacker, he really took off. And if Darrell Taylor might be a little bit of the opposite, where he did some really promising things early in his career, but in a different scheme in Seattle. And then last year was kind of a weird year in Chicago. But is there a part where maybe you look at Darrell Taylor and think this might be a better scheme fit for him?
Yeah, there's a good example of players played multiple systems. I would say Babin, going back to him, I think you're right about that. Like, he was better with his hand down. And anytime you're viewing end of the line of scrimmage players, some have the ability to play from a two-point stance and are comfortable. Some aren't as comfortable. Some are better with their hand in the ground playing from a three-point stance and really what you're asking them to do. I would say in Taylor's case, I mean, he has a lot of attributes that really translate over to our defense. I mean, he's an explosive kid. He's a good-sized kid. He's strong. He's got good get-off. He's got good bend. I mean, we feel that he's potentially going to be able to help our defense in some capacity. I would say kind of complements Derek Barnett in some respects. I mean, they both play defensive end, but they're different in terms of their skill set and what they provide, but they're equally effective in their role. So DT's had a good attitude. He runs well. He's got some explosiveness to him. Looks like he might be able to provide some snaps in the kicking game, which really you're looking more from a size standpoint, not necessarily this guy is like a special teams maven, but it just creates a little bit more versatility to your overall team. But, you know, I think we were happy to be able to sign Taylor when we did, and because we think he's going to have a fit and a role in this defense.
Yeah, well, and obviously that's one of your strongest positions with Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter. Look, being out here at practice, those two have been wrecking shop at times out here. Does it make it difficult to assess sometimes when you're watching young tackles go against guys like Danielle Hunter? I mean, obviously it's great experience for them. They're going against the best. But as someone who's having to evaluate all this and put a depth chart together, how does that all factor in?
Yeah, it works both ways. I mean, we feel like we have pretty good players on both sides of the ball. I mean, arguably Danielle and Will are two of the better defensive ends in the league. So, I mean, they have to work on what they're doing as well. Like, we can't penalize them. So here's your assignment. Okay. The big thing for us is just making sure that you're staying off the quarterback. That's one of D'Amico's rules. I mean, this goes back to protecting the team. So just stay off the quarterback. If you win the rush, just go ahead and pull off. But from a working against one another standpoint, I mean, Ursary's going to get a lot better working against Daniil, working against Will, working against DB, working against Taylor. And that's going to hopefully make them a better player. So, yeah, I mean, Will's been having this problem probably since he's been in high school.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier in the show.
Will's a good player. And yeah, Will's actually improved in some areas, which is what you like to see in a younger player. But we're getting good work against one another, and there are plenty of times where our tackles have blocked the ends, and there's other times that the ends have beaten the tackles. And that's emblematic of the NFL and what you're going to see on a week-to-week basis.
Well, and I think emblematic of what we were talking about earlier in the conversation, the types of guys you're bringing in. I saw footage after practice the other day of Will working with Ariante after practice on, you know, whatever. Ariante, I'm sure, went up to Will and asked him and said, hey, let's do these things. How cool is that to see? And also, as it pertains to Will, like when you signed someone like Danielle Hunter, because those two are now inseparable, Danielle and Will, it looks like, out of practice. How much of that factors in when you're looking at something like a contract for Danielle and what it's going to cost? Do you look at, like, okay, not only is this guy a great player, but from what we know about him, there's an incremental effect he's going to have on the development of Will Anderson?
Yeah, look, we're trying to bring good
football. Am I overthinking
it? No. We're trying to get good football players in the building. Yeah. And I would say in Daniil's case, I mean, we didn't have a history per se, but Chris Blanco was with him in Minnesota, so having that information. And then when the players walk in the building, really, you hope it's organic. Like, we're not going to force it. Well, we're signing Daniil because Daniil, we want you to help Will.
Right.
If that works itself out that way, I think there's a mutual respect for one another because they have the right mindset, they have the right personality, and they want to help each other. And the reality is they can help each other by learning from one another and sharing information and making each other better. And that's really what we try to do. I mean, D'Amico talks about this a lot. I mean, I know it's just a phrase, but it's true. Iron sharpens iron. So, again, we're looking at the player, his overall background, his makeup, what can he do to help our football team, and when they're here, how those relationships form. Ultimately, it's up to the players, and you just hope it is organic as possible. You're not trying to force anything on anyone.
Yeah.
You know, Sean and I were discussing during the break that Kalen Bullock almost had an interception yesterday, but he dropped it. And I was talking about my frustration at times because Kalen Bullock, he's got to be so many potential interceptions. Yes. Already early in his career. but to spin it in a positive way, we were talking about Jalen Knoll, because Jalen Knoll, you know, I know drop rate doesn't tell you everything, but just by drop rate, he improved a lot with his hands through his college career. And he went from pretty bad to last year having one of the best drop rates amongst drafted wide receivers. Is that something that you have a process for, or on improving guys' hands, or is it as simple as just get out on the jugs machine?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Machine?
I think you can improve someone's hands and just actual catching of the football. A lot of times, at least from a defensive back perspective, their ability to track and judge and find the ball when it's in flight, especially with their back to the ball, isn't as natural. I would say those couple plays in practice yesterday were plays that were actually Kalen was working downhill and he just dropped the ball, but there was a decent amount of steam on those. But going back to when we evaluated Kalen, like he was around the ball quite a bit at USC, and he was able to finish plays. So you have a lot of defensive backs who you can categorize them as interceptors, where they actually finish the play and get their hands on the ball. And then you have some other ones who are more PBU or just more passes defense. But your actual hands, and a lot of it is hand strength, so you can work on that in the jugs. But then a lot of it is catching and running and moving, which I would say the best drill at the combine to kind of simulate this is the gauntlet drill. Because you're running full speed, you're running through the football, more of what actually happens during the course of the game. So every player's got to find, I mean, you know, Edelman used to catch playing cards from the equipment manager just for hand-eye coordination, you know, in the morning to make him set. And Julian had good hands, but he had drops. So sometimes it's hand positioning, sometimes it's just some are better playing the ball or tracking the ball on the move. So, but Kalen has shown the ability to find the ball, and a number of interceptions that he had last year were actually pretty difficult catches. You know, we feel that he's probably going to make more of those plays than he's not. We'd like to see him catch them, but there's plenty of things that you can do to improve just the actual catching of the football.
Yeah.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah. Nick Caserio joining us here live on Sports Radio 610. We're at Texans training camp, day six. Nick, I know you like the investment community and you dabble in that a little bit. I'm thinking of buying some Kate Stover stock. Talk
How
me into it or out of it.
Yeah. A small cap, a blue chip,
you
or
tell us.
A mid cap. So
look good so far.
I think he's an IPO, hopefully, right?
No, yeah. I think there's too much volatility with the IPOs. Unfortunately, I've bought into one recently that I think it's gone down probably like $20, $30 since I bought it. So
okay.
Hopefully that's not the case with
Can
Stover.
Can I interest you in this Kate Stover stock? You've already bought some.
Yeah, he's a little bit more of a steady, maybe a dividend, you know, income type of investment.
But what have you thought so far?
In all seriousness, Cade's worked really hard in the offseason. Cade's mindset and his mentality, he cares a lot about football. He's very competitive. He's very tough. He's very smart. And as a player who hasn't played the position for that long, it's only been a handful of years, so he continues to get better. You've seen some tangible improvements, and, you know, he's going from year one to year two. The hope is that younger players, you see a little bit of a growth or evolution, but you know, we're glad Cade's on the team. I know we talked about him when we drafted him, that we were excited to get him on the team. And he just keeps his mouth shut. He works very, very hard. He cares a lot about football. When he's not here, he's probably on his farm baling hay, and because that's the type of mentality that he possesses. But, you know, excited about where he is, and hopefully his trajectory continues to move ahead.
Nick, I'm going to ask a question of you that pretty much every single guy that steps up to the podium during training camp gets. What are you working to improve on in your game this year?
A lot. I'm always trying to improve and get better. I would say I think I've always kind of taken the approach, not get too high, not get too low, just kind of stay here because there's a lot of things that can happen. And continue to empower the group that we have in the building and give them opportunities, you know, whether it's in the scouting area or it's other areas that are overseen other departments. So just being disciplined and diligent, and, you know, I try to stay hands off but pick my spots where appropriate. And just to continue to provide support to whomever needs into the building, and starting with D'Amico. And my job is to serve him and to serve the entire organization, and you just continue to do that on a consistent basis and try to make sure I stay on a leg day every Friday and make sure that I don't miss any of those workouts.
There you go.
I want to make sure I maintain that level of performance.
It's interesting because D'Amico talked about how, you know, he needs to focus on developing coaches and not necessarily always being about the player development as heavily, but he's got to focus on developing coaches as well. Is that something that generally in your career, is that kind of a constant emphasis of always just, I got to get to the point where I'm training the people. I'm training the people underneath me as much as getting my hands dirty.
No, it's interesting. I mean, every year it's a new year, and where you are in your individual evolution and development potentially could impact what your focus is on a day-to-day basis. So I think I've had the good fortune of being in multiple roles throughout my career, but I think the approach that we take, not only with the players, and D'Amico's talked about on the coaching front, but just all aspects of the organization, is bring people in, provide them the opportunity, and the mindset of draft and develop in all areas of the program is something that we're, I would say, focused on. And the more we can continue to do that, create more opportunities for other folks and just kind of nurture them along and steer them in the right direction, ultimately that's my responsibility to the organization to hopefully position this group for a number of years to come.
Nick Caserio, Texans Executive Vice President and General Manager, joining us here live, Texans training camp, day six. Christian Harris was not on the PUP list. He wasn't on the NFI list either. He's on the roster. He hasn't practiced yet. What can you tell us about where he's at? We saw him jogging out here yesterday, so that was good.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this last Tuesday. There's a number of players that are at different stages in terms of their development relative to their health. I would say specifically in Christian's situation, the way the rules work with NFI, PUP, et cetera, if they're on one of those lists, there's certain parameters and limitations in terms of what they can participate in. So as a player makes progress, let's say you want to put him into a walkthrough in the evening or something like that, you just have the flexibility to do that. You're sort of keeping him alive. So you just – every case is a little bit different. So we're trying to do what we think is in the best interest of each individual player. So Christian's getting closer. He's starting to make some progress. So really I would say that was more of a mechanical thing.
Gotcha.
There wasn't any funny business or anything like that. It's just trying to look at the situation. What do we think makes the most sense? You sometimes can keep a player a little bit more engaged when he's not on one of those lists for a myriad of reasons. So I'd say, again, there is a thought process and a rationale behind it. I'd say that's probably the best explanation for his situation.
Nick, one of the things that Sean and I talked about is sometimes when a guy is put in a leadership role or becomes the veteran guy or one of the veteran guys in a position group, you can see a change in them, and it affects their individual player, but they also grow as a leader. And it's been interesting to watch Titus Howard. So from the outside looking in this offseason, you know, and we're not there every day, but just from the things that he's said and the way it looks like he's operated, it looks like he's really leaning into or embracing becoming a veteran guy on the team and being a leader in that unit.
Yeah, Titus has been here for a number of years now, and honestly, he's probably seen as much change as anybody that's on the team. And, you know, to his credit, I mean, he's done a number of things that are very selfless. Like, we've asked him to change positions. He's played multiple spots. He really hasn't complained and bitched and moaned about it, so it kind of speaks to him. Titus is a good kid. He works hard. He's got a good attitude. There's been some ups and downs throughout the course of his career, but he continues to work, and he get better. You know, we're glad he's here, and, you know, he's played good football for us. And even going back to, you know, my first season in 21 when he had to go out there and play left tackle, you know, he showed the ability to do that. So, you know, Titus deserves a lot of credit. It hadn't been easy, but I think he's really made a conscious effort to sort of work through it and try to do the right things. And the big thing with any player, and Titus included, is continue to work, continue to make progress, continue to improve, and do what you can to help the football team. And, you know, he's certainly embraced that.
He's one of the few guys so far that hasn't really been, like, mixed and matched out of his right guard position. There's been a lot of shuffling, understandably, on the offensive line. It felt like yesterday you guys were going with specific combinations, you know, with different groups out there. Is that something we're going to continue to see, or is there still going to be shuffling? Not specific to Titus necessarily, but where are you at right now in that whole competition along the offensive
line? Yeah, at some point that will probably declare itself a little bit more. Probably once we get through another week here, and then maybe right before Minnesota or after Minnesota, somewhere in there. At some point, if we think this is what the group is going to be, then, all right, we're going to go ahead and let those guys work together as much as possible. The reality is we probably have 7 or 8 players that are going to factor in to the actual game day roster. Mm-hmm. So you just want to make sure that whoever those players are going to be, they get enough reps. But we've talked about this. We feel like we have a lot of depth and a lot of competition at multiple spots. Some of it's starting to declare itself a little bit. You know, we have, honestly, 4 or 5 starting tackles or, you know, starting level tackles. Blake Fisher, I know Trent's not practicing yet. Even if you were to take Titus out from guard and put him outside. So feel like we have decent depth there. And then inside, we have a number of players, some guys that are center only, some guys that are guard only, some multi-position players inside. So I think these next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll see a little bit more, and we'll have a better idea and better understanding. So really, at some point, all these guys are probably end up playing with one another. Yeah. Eventually, you want to get to the point where whoever the 5 are, from a communication standpoint, you want to be able to go out there and practice as much as possible in anticipation of being ready to go for the Rams.
I haven't adopted my undrafted rookie free agent yet. I'm going to wait until after the week that we're in West Virginia to do that. But are there any guys I should keep an eye on? Now, remind you, this isn't just overall ceiling or ability or anything, or even ability to make the team. It's like, okay, I love this kid and the way he works and practices and all that.
Yeah, I'm actually going to give you a twofer because they kind of travel in packs here a little bit. But Casey Osai and Jackson Woodard, from the time that they've really walked in the building, they're as diligent and their work ethic and mindset is as good as anybody in the building. I mean, every night at the end of the day, they're upstairs talking to Coach Ross, going through whatever the next special teams phase is, because they're in a position where if they're going to make the team, yeah, like they're probably going to have to make it in a kicking
smart
game. But their mentality, they're very consistent, and honestly, they're together all the time. So whether it's walkthrough, getting extra work with Coach Davis, spending time with Coach Ross. I know Jackson, we didn't sign him right away after the draft. He was released, then we claimed him. But it was right around kind of when a draft had taken place. But those two players, have really were, and we've asked them to do some different things that they aren't accustomed to doing. They've played some defensive ends. So as more, the more that they can create some versatility for themselves, at least it's going to give them an opportunity to potentially put themselves in a position to make the team.
Okay, so Seth, jot those names down. I already got mine. You know who mine is. Mine is Daniel Jackson, the wide receiver, because
he's probably going to SummerSlam, so
wait, yeah,
knowing
exactly
him.
Yeah, yeah, like because you're doing bed checks at night at the Greenbrier. Where's Jackson? He's in MetLife Stadium. Because when they were doing the over the bridge question, they said, "What's your walkout music going to be?" And he said, "Randy Orton, Voices in My Head."
I hear
head.
Voices, yeah.
And I
so said, maybe he's going to change that
and
to
I
the whole
team. This guy's making the team, Nick, based on this.
Well, hopefully he can make a few more plays in practice.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, walk before we run. So, yeah, that's good. Have we found out who the wrestling fans are on the team?
Omar, that's your job.
That's Omar's.
Are we working
okay
on that?
Omar's
okay got
to get me my list. Right. I want to do a little thing after practice in Greenbrier where I find out.
Maybe we can get some SummerSlam predictions while we're at it.
Oh, okay. Give me one.
Well, it's Cena's last SummerSlam match, right?
Yeah.
So I know he's a big-time actor now. So
yes,
I'm sure, you know, eventually Cody's probably going to work himself.
It's him and Cody going against each other, right?
And then CM Punk against Gunther, right?
Yeah.
Which I watched CM came out last night and had a good monologue.
A little shouting match with him.
I'm a CM Punk fan. So
Drew McIntyre's trapped over in England right now.
It sounds like it. So
you got to partner with your Cleveland guy, Logan Paul. Can you get it to can you get to MetLife Stadium by Sunday night?
Yeah, I'd rather. I'm more partial to the Miz. If we're going to talk about
okay,
Cleveland,
let him do
Cleveland
it.
Guys,
that's
yeah
a Cleveland guy. All right, Nick, we appreciate you stopping out.
Yeah,
here,
you bet.
Man.
Anytime.
Yeah,
appreciate you having us.
Yeah, good chat. And
Seth, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. I'm going to do my deep dive on Casey Osai and Jackson Woodard.
Casey Osai has
got a cult following of amongst a few Texans fans, so they're going to be excited.
Oh, you'll get some hits on that Seth Payne YouTube channel,
there
baby.
You go.
Yep,
there
yep,
you
yep
go.
Good stuff. Hey, Nick, we
thanks,
appreciate
fellas
it. Yeah,
yep, you
thank
bet
you.
Thank you.
Great stuff. Executive Vice President and GM Nick Caserio joining us. We are done. We're out of time. We will be back here tomorrow at 6 a.m. for day 7 of training camp. And stay tuned all day long. Texans training camp live coming up next in the loop out here from 10 to 2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.